That's right. All right, everyone, say good morning. Let's begin. Today's daf is Kuf Hei. We're going to pick up again at the Mishnah, new parak. Mishnah Kuf Dalet Amud Beis. Says the Mishnah, Shnei Dayani Gzeros Hayu B'Yerushalayim. There were two prominent judges who were Dayani Gzeros. They were judges that put forth decrees in Yerushalayim, and they were Admon V'Hanan Ben Avishalom. These are the name of the two judges, Admon and Hanan ben Avishalom. Hanan, Omer Hanan used to say Shnei Dvarim. So Hanan will say, now we'll see what this actually means is, Rashi says, Shnei Dvarim Shalom Hayu Chachamim Modim Lo. So Hanan had two Piskei Halacha, two judicial rulings that the Chachamim did not agree with. Admon Omer Shiva, and Admon had seven rulings that the Chachamim did not agree with. Misha halach lemedinas hayam v'ishta tovas mizonos. So we'll say now the Gemara tells one of these halachos. Oh, so a man went overseas, and he did not leave his wife with any provisions for mizonos. So she comes to Beis Din, and she wants to claim in Beis Din that he owes her mizonos, and she wants to go ahead and sell off his property. So what's the halacha? Hanan Omer Hanan says top of kufei tishava. So we'll say Hanan paskins that a woman does not have to go ahead and take a shavua before seizing property for the sake of mizonos. So she only has to swear at the end. Now at the end ultimately means when she wants to collect her ksuva, that's when she has to swear that her husband never gave her any property in satisfaction of her ksuva. But she does not have to swear, that's basov. She does not have to swear before going ahead and taking property to go ahead and take care of mizonos. Nechleku alav b'nei kohanim gidolim. However, again, the sons of the kohanim gidolim, and we'll say, and the Gemara will discuss exactly who these people are, so argued on Hanan, and they said, no, va'amru, tishava b'tchila ubasov. She must take a shvua in the beginning, i.e. when she's coming to collect mizonos, and she must take a shvua basov in the end when she's coming to collect her ksuva. Amr Rabbi Dosa ben Hirkinis, Kidivrayim, and Rabbi Dosa ben Hirkinis said the halacha follows the Chachamim. Amr Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, Yafe Amr Hanan. No, Hanan said, good, lo tishava ela basov. A woman does not have to take an oath, right, prior to collecting from her husband's property for mizonos. Rather, she only has to take an oath when going ahead and collecting from her husband's property for the sake of ksuva. Says the Gemara, or Minhi, Sigmar raises a kasha. Shlosha Dayani Gzeilas Halib Yerushalayim. But yet again, Abbas, I see now this price seems to contradict our Mishnah, because our Mishnah says that there were two judges in Yerushalayim who used to go ahead and put forward decrees, Gzeilos, and yet here the price says Shlosha Dayani Gzeilos. There are three judges who used to adjudicate cases of theft. Who were they? Yerushalayim. Who were they? Admo ben Gedai, Hanan Hamitri, Vechanan ben Avishalom. So Abbas says to here the price lists three judges. Admon ben Gedai, Hanan HaMitzri, and Hanan ben Avishalom. So it says the Gemara, Kasha Tlas Atrin, Kasha Gzeros Agzelos. So this price supposes two kashas, two questions. Number one, the Mishnah said that there were two judges. This price says that there are three. Number one, number two, the Mishnah is talking about Gzeros, and yet this Mishnah discusses Gzelos. Remember, Gzeros means decrees, Gzelos means theft, to which the Gemara says, Lo Kasha. I'm sorry, Bishlamet Tlasa Train Lokasha. So the fact that our Mishnah said two, this price says three, that's not a question. The Chashav Le Katani, the Lo Chashav Le Lo Katani. Our Mishnah is only speaking about the most prominent of judges. So the most prominent of judges, there were only two, versus the price is talking about all of the judges. Ela Gzeros Agzeros Kashya. But yet at the end of the day, why does our Mishnah use Lashon of Gzeros? And yet the price used Lashon of Gzelos, that's a Kashya. Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. Shahayu gozrin gezeros al gezelos. Oh, you know, I will say, saying the same. What is it saying? That they used to make gezelos, they made decrees regarding matters of theft. For example, kidisanya, as we learned, kitma netia. It will say, if a person uprooted a sapling, rabiosi, meaning I uprooted the sapling of my friend. So what's that halacha? Rabiosi omer, rabiosi says, gozrin gezeros shibushalim omrim, netia bash nasa shtei kesef. Bashtei Shanim Arba Kesef. Rabbi Yossi used to say that those who made decrees in Yerushalayim said that if you uprooted a sapling that was 1 year, you had to pay two silver pieces. 2 years, four silver pieces. So we'll say these. That's Gozrei Gezeros al Gezelos. They went ahead and they put forward decrees regarding matters of theft. Or Minhi, Zumari Zakasha, Shlosha Dayani Gezeros al Yerushalayim. There were three judges who used to put forward Gezeros in Yerushalayim. And who were they? Admon, V'chanan, V'nochum. So we'll say there was Admon, Hanan, and Nochum. Now remember, Admon and Hanan are mentioned in our Mishnah. Nachum is not. So Amar Papa, man Tana Nachum, who is the Tana who brought to include Nachum in this list? Rabbi Nassan, he is. Rabbi Nassan, Disanya. Rabbi Nassan Omer, Af Nachum Hamadi Migozve Gezeros Shebi Shalayim Haya. So Rabbi Nassan says that even Nachum Hamadi was also among those who went ahead and used to put forward gezeros in Yerushalayim. Good morning. Used to put forward gezeros in Yerushalayim. V'lo hodu lo chachamim. But Rabbi Osai, ultimately, again, the chachamim did not agree with him. V'sulaka. Rabbi Osai, now, we're making it sound like over here that there are only two, three judges who are putting forward in gezeros, or there are not many more judges in Yerushalayim. V'amra Pinchas, Amra Boshia, Shlosh me'os v'tishim v'arba batei dina Yerushalayim. Rabbi Osai, there were 300. Shlosh me'os v'tishim v'arba, there are 394. Batei din, right? Courts in Yerushalayim. Kenegdan batei knesios. Rabbi Osai, and corresponding to those, there are 394 shuls, right? Because I guess after you lose the court case, you can't daven in the same shul as the other person, right? So there are 394 shuls. Ukenegdan batei medrashos. And Rabbi Osai, corresponding to that, there are 394 batei medrash. Ukenegdan batei sofrin. And 394 schools. Rabbi Osai, so the idea, yeshivas. So the idea over here is what? 394 batei din. So Rabbi Osai, again, if there's a minimum of 3 dayanim per beis din, it's a lot of dayanim. So the Gemara says, you're right, dayanim tuvaha. Rabbi Osai, first wide line on kofhei. There were many, many judges in Yerushalayim. V'chi kaminon agozrei gezeros kaminon. But Rabbi Osai, when we're mentioning judges, we're speaking about those who put forward decrees. So Rabbi Osai, remember, understand that we saw there are different types of judges. There are some dayanim who are fit to adjudicate cases, but are not necessarily fit to put forward new gezeros, new decrees. So when the Mishnah talks about, again, that there are 2 dayanim in Yerushalayim, or the Bryce says there are 3 dayanim in Yerushalayim, the idea is that there are certain elite dayanim who are qualified enough to be able to put forward gezeros, but those, of course, were a select few. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Asi, Gozrei Gezeros Yerushalayim, Hein Hayu Notlin Scharan, Tishin V'teisha Mana, Mitshumas Halishka. So we'll say this is actually very interesting, and if you remember again, we actually saw this way back when in Maseches Shkalim. So we'll say, so remember, Dayanim were public servants, right? So Dayanim worked for the people, they worked for the Kal, they were Jewish communal service. So where were they paid from? So those who made Gezeros in Yerushalayim used to take their schar from the Trumas Halishka. So the Trumas Halishka was the temple fund, and how much money did they take? Tishim v'teisha mana. They got paid 99 mana. 99 mana. Says the Gemara, which again was a respectable amount. So lo ratzu mosifan lahem. And I will say now this is very interesting. So lo ratzu sounds like if they felt that wasn't enough, we would add on to that salary. Lo ratzu atubir shiaskinan. What does that mean? We're talking about people are trying to extract more money from the system. Ella lo safku. Let's say Rabbi say for the needs of that Dayan's family, 99 mana a year was not enough. Or be the halacha. If the community knew that the particular salary was not enough for this particular dayan, even if the dayan said it's enough, nevertheless, again, they would force the dayan to accept more money. They would force him to accept the increase in salary. Karna hava shakil istira mizakai v'istira mechayev. So it was like Karna, who was a dayan, what he used to do was there would be a court fee when the litigants would show up in court. He would charge a istira, is a sella. He would tell, again, both litigants that they had to pay a sella, a court fee, before going ahead and adjudicating the case. And this, I will say, is how Karna was able to make a parnasa and ultimately run his beis din. So the Gemara says, so the Gemara says, v'doyin luhudina, and he would go ahead and then adjudicate the case. But how could Karna take money from the litigants? V'haksi, but the pasuk says, v'shochad lo sikach. Torah says you can't take a bribe. So here you have a judge taking money from both of the litigants. Is that not by definition a bribe? On one hand, you could say, no, it's only a bribe if what? If you're taking it from one of the parties, because then you'll go ahead and slant the judgment in the favor of one of the parties. Karna, on the other hand, because he took it from both of the parties, ultimately is not going to slant the judgment in the favor of one. But I will say, the Gemara says, you make it sound like that if the judge is not going to slant the judgment, then taking money from the litigants is okay. But that's not true. But Hatanya, we learn, v'shochad lo sikach. But I say, Tertzim, you may not take a bribe. Ma tamal omer, what does this mean? If you tell me, the Torah is telling me that I may not go ahead and exonerate the guilty, or go ahead and or make liable the one who's innocent. Torah already says that you may not slant judgment. So we already know that. But rather, again, the Torah says, a judge can't accept money, even what? Even to adjudicate properly. Right? A judge is not allowed to accept money under any circumstances. Amra Torah v'shocha lo sikach. So, right, so we'll say, so again, what the Gemara is saying over here is, the Gemara wanted to suggest that because Karna was taking money from both of the parties, therefore the Maaseh is not a bribe. Because essentially what he's taking money is to what? Is to adjudicate the case properly. But yet again, the Gemara seems to say, the Torah tells us, that even if the judge is taking money from both of the parties to judge correctly, you can't take money from litigants. Because at the end of the day, by definition, that has the possibility to sway the judgment. Maybe you'll say, Hani mili hecha de shaka b'torah shochat. Maybe you'll say that's only true when the judge takes the money as a bribe. Karna b'toras igra havashakil. So Karna was taking it as a wage, meaning he was taking this as an administrative fee. That they will say at the end of the day, it costs money to run the Beis Din. It costs money, ultimately, again, for Karna to go ahead and adjudicate the cases. And therefore, he was taking it as an administrative fee, not as a shocha, not as a bribe, not as a way of saying, okay, now that you paid me, I'll adjudicate correctly, but simply as an administrative fee. But the Gemara says, is this permitted? Is it permitted for a judge to go ahead and accept money as a wage from the litigants? But we learned, Hanota schar lodun dinav betelin. If a judge accepts money to go from the litigants to go ahead and judge, then what's the halacha? His rulings are void. Very, very dramatic. His rulings are void. I will say why? Because the assumption is that ultimately, again, anytime you're receiving any kind of money from the litigants, by definition, your judgments are colored. Hanimili agardina. That's only true if you're receiving the money as a wage for adjudicating the case. Karna agar betela havashakil. So we'll say this is actually very interesting. Karna was accepting that money is what we call schar batala. We'll say schar batala means that Karna could have had another profession and made money in that profession. Because ultimately now he's choosing to forego that profession and go ahead and judge. Therefore, there are lost wages. Therefore, again, the people who showed up in Beis Din would essentially be responsible for giving Karna lost wages. Why? What did Karna do on the side? So the Gemara, well, actually, we'll get to that in just a moment. Va'agar v'tela mishari, but still, is this permitted to have the litigants go ahead and pay the dayan for lost wages? V'atanya, mechuar ha-dayan shenota schar lodon. We say it's disgusting for a dayan to go ahead and accept money to adjudicate the case, even if it's what? Even if it's schar batala, lost wages. But again, if he did it, his judgment stand. So hechidami, what's the case? Ilema agar dayna haynu din, dino din. So if you want to say that he's receiving money to adjudicate the case, so are his judgments valid? After all, we learned, v'hatanya notos schar ladon dinov b'deilin. But we learn that if one accepts money in order to judge a particular case, his judgments are void. Ella agar betela. But rather, again, what is it referring to? It's referring to if he receives money because of lost wages from another profession. And yet, what's the halacha? V'katani mechur hadayin. And yet, again, the Brisa says that as much as we don't void his judgments in such a situation like that, such a judge like that is disgusting. Meaning, anytime you're accepting money from the litigants in any way, it's disgusting. To which the Gemara says, Hani mili betela de la mukha. So we'll say, that's only true if what? If the money that he's receiving is that it is not clear that the money is being given for lost wages. Karna betela de mukha chahava. It was clear that when Karna was sitting and adjudicating a case, that what? That he was losing out on wages. Why? What did he do? Karna betela de mukha vashakil. To have a toy ba'ambira de chamra. Let's listen to this. So Karna apparently was a wine expert. So what would Karna do? People would hire Karna, wine manufacturers would hire Karna, bring them into their storehouses, and he would smell the wine. And based on the smell of the wine, he would be able to predict when the wine was going to turn. Now, if you were a wine merchant, this was very important because what it would do is it would dictate what wines you would sell first and what wines you could wait to sell a little bit. So because it was known that he had this profession, and because it was known that he generated, Baruch Hashem, a pretty good parnasa from this profession, so people, litigants who came realized that when he was taking the time to go ahead and adjudicate their case, he was losing out on wages, and therefore they paid him to make up for those lost wages. So the Gemara is suggesting in such a situation like that, where it's clear why the money is being given, apparently Karna was permitted to accept it. Like Rav Huna, when he would come, when people would ask him to adjudicate the case, so Rav Huna used to say, just find me someone who is going to draw water and irrigate my fields, and I'll judge your cases. In other words, what Rav Huna was saying was, find someone else who's going to take care of my work. Also, it's quite amazing that Rav Huna was the one who apparently drew the water from his well in order to irrigate his fields. So find me someone who's willing to do that, and I'll go ahead and be happy to adjudicate the case. So the Gemara is suggesting over here is for a number of interesting things. A dayan can't accept money, even if it's from both litigants. A dayan can't accept money to go ahead and even adjudicate the case correctly. The only thing the dayan can do is the dayan is permitted to accept money from both of the litigants to make up for lost wages in order to be able to adjudicate the case, as long as it's clear that the money is being offered for lost wages. Am Rabbi Avo, bo ure'e kama Ba'ura'e, kama sumuyos enin shal kabe shochad. They will say, see ultimately how blinded the eyes of those who go ahead and accept bribes really are. Adam chashbeinav, they will say, if a person has an eye ailment, no sin mamon lerofe, safek misrape, safek in the misrape. So they will say, a person has an eye ailment, so what do? They go to the doctor, they pay some money to the doctor. It's a suffix, you know, maybe they'll be healed, maybe they won't be healed. Meaning we never know, will the remedy work or not? The hey notlin shavet pruta, and the umasimin enei. I will say one thing we know for sure, which is once the dayan takes a pruta, one thing I know for sure is he's blinded. So if a person has an eye ailment, you go to the doctor, you pay him a lot of money, maybe he will heal you, maybe he won't heal you. But you take a pruta, you take a little bit of a bribe from someone, you're absolutely blinded. Shene emar, ki ashochad ya'aver pikim. Because ultimately, again, the shocha, the bribe, will go ahead and blind pikhim, even those who are wise. Turn around, on. Ki ha-shocha ye'aver einei chachamim. Because the pasuk says that the bribe will go ahead and blind the eyes of the wise. Kavachomer letipshin, right? So if a bribe blinds the wicked, all the more so it blinds the foolish. V'yisalif divrei tzadikim, and it perverts the words of tzadikim, of the righteous. Kavachomer l'rishayim, all the more so for rishayim, says the Gemara. What does that mean? Are fools and wicked people, are they in a place, are they in a position of adjudicating cases, of judging? This is what it means to say, that the bribe will go ahead and blind the eyes of the wise. Even if a person is exceptionally wise, but he accepts a bribe, eino niftar min ha'olam below simios haleif. People say, this is amazing. So if a person takes a bribe, even if he's very wise, right, and he goes ahead and he accepts the bribe, he does not leave this world without blindness of the heart. The salif divrei tzadikim, and it perverts the words of the righteous. Afilu tzadik gomer velokeach shochad. Even if a person is absolutely righteous and he accepts a bribe, eino niftar min ha'olam below tiruf das. He does not leave this world without confusion of the mind. In other words, what the Gemara is saying over here is that if a person accepts a bribe one way or another, it's going to impact the individual. It's a very important klal in general in life, that whatever we do impacts us. Sometimes it doesn't impact us in the here and now. Meaning what the Gemara is suggesting over here is it possible to adjudicate a case correctly if you go ahead and receive a bribe? Is it possible? It's possible. It's possible that you could reach the correct conclusion, but just understand that if you're the kind of person that's accepting bribes, that means your judgment will be impaired. Maybe it's not now, maybe it'll happen later on, but it will absolutely happen at some point in time. I'll say it's a very important call in general that the things that we do in this world absolutely impact. You see, the call goes, the reason we engage in negative behaviors is because we feel that I can engage in a negative behavior and still remain the same person. That's la maisa. I can still do the hate, but it's not really going to impact me. I'm going to be okay. So it's like a cognitive dissonance. Like, I'm doing it, but it's not really going to hurt me. And it's not true. Every single thing we do in this world, big and small, has a profound impact on who we are. Perhaps you don't see it immediately, but it absolutely comes out at some point in time. Ki asa Rav Dini Amar Darish Rav Nachim Bar Kohen, Mai Dichsev, what's the meaning of the Pasuk? Melech B'mishpat Ya'amid Aretz. V'ish Trumos Ya'asenu. So what's the meaning of the Pasuk of Osei Mishlei? That literally, a king of justice will uphold the earth, but a man of gifts will destroy it. So the Gemara says, if the judge makes himself like a king who doesn't need anything, i.e. he's not receptive to any bribes or gifts from the litigants, then ultimately he will sustain the earth through his proper judgments. But if he is like a Kohen who goes silo to silo soliciting his Kohanic gifts, then what? He will destroy the world. Amar Rabba Barav Shila. Hi, Dina Dishol Shilta. Pasul Ameida Dina. Also, listen to this. Any Dayon that borrows things from people, Rashi says, Derag Yavishal Bemnei Ira Behemo Sakilim. Any judge who borrows stuff from others is pasul to go ahead and adjudicate cases. Rabbi says, because the assumption is that then he's beholden to people, right? He's beholden to people. V'lo Amran Ela Delesle Laoshule. But that's only said if he doesn't have something to lend in return. But I will say, if he has something to lend in return, meaning in other words, I will say that it's normal for people to go ahead and lend each other. So if the dayan borrows but also lends to people, that's fine. But if the dayan is just a borrower but never lends people stuff, then lemaisa, that's not good, because the assumption is, or the possibility is, that it compromises his objectivity. So the Gemara says, Ini, is that so? But yet Rava used to borrow stuff from the house of Bar Merion, family of Bar Merion. Afalgav dolo shayli minhei, even though he did not lend them anything in return, and yet he would go ahead and adjudicate their cases. That was different. Hasam laach shavinu hu deboy. The Rabbi said the reason why he was borrowing from them was to show people ultimately again that they were chashiv. That if a person like Rava would go ahead and borrow from them, it meant that it was a family of fine standing. So the Gemara goes right there. The Gemara says, Amar Rava, my time, also is amazing. My time at the Shokhta. Why is it that accepting a bribe is so bad? Kevan de Kabbalah Shokhta mine, ikrave le daita legabe. Listen to how profound this is. When you accept a bribe from someone, so that establishes a closeness between the individuals, and that person who I accepted the bribe from becomes like my own body. I want to listen to this. Ve'ein adam roeh chov eliatzmo. I will say, if there's one klal gadol in life, we are blind to our own deficiencies. We are blind to our own defects. We are blind to our own to the negativity that we each have negativity within. We're often blind to our own movement, to our own defects. Therefore, I will say, if a person accepts a bribe from someone, so that person becomes as close to me as myself. And the same way, I don't see my own defects, I also won't see the defect of that individual. The Gemara says, and therefore again, my shochad, what's the etymological root? What is the meaning of the word shochad? Shehu chad. Because isn't it interesting? So shochad means shehu chad, that when I accept something from someone, shehu chad, I become one with that individual. And the same way that I don't see the deficiencies in myself, I won't see the deficiencies in my other. You know, Chazal expresses elsewhere, ein adam roa, you know, the Gemara talks about this, that a Kohen is not permitted to go ahead and look at its own saras. Let's say he has a skin lesion that breaks out. So normally everyone's coming to the Kohen. So what happens if the Kohen gets a skin lesion? So a Kohen can't look at his own skin lesion. Why the Gemara says? Because ein adam roa nige atzmo. So what that literally means is, in the concept of saras, a person can't look at his own nigoyim. On a deeper level, what it means is a person does not see his own blemishes, right? We're good at seeing everyone else's blemishes, but I do not, people, and even if I say, oh, well, I know I have this challenge, that challenge, a person doesn't often see the full extent of their own blemishes. That's the problem with shochad. Therefore, you accept something from someone, they become like you. The same way we're often blind to our own deficiencies, I become blind to the deficiencies of that other. Amra Papa, lowly don't inish din laman don rachim lay. Also, listen to this. A person should not go ahead and adjudicate a case with someone who he loves. Below the man, the sunny lay, and not to someone who he hates. Dirachin Leibos is very profound. When you love someone, lo chazi lechova, you often can't go ahead and see their deficiencies. Disanile lo chazi lezechusa. And when you hate someone, you don't see anything good about them. Leibos is very, very, these are all you should just know. These are all important yisodos, not just in adjudicating cases, but in living life. Very, very, very important yisod. When you love someone, you often lose objectivity and you can't see their deficiencies. When you hate someone, you also lose your objectivity and you can't see any good in them. This is bonus material today. So Abaye says, Talmud Chacham, Tzura mi rabbanan. The Rebbe said, now this could be referring to any form of communal leader. This could be a rav, this could be a dayan. Listen to this. Dimerachamim le b'nei masa. The Rebbe said, if a rav or a dayan is beloved by the people of his city, lav mishum dema'alitve. It's not because he's exceptionally good. Why do they love him? Ela mishum dela muchach luhu b'mili dishmaya. It's because he doesn't rebuke them. Right? See, Rebbe said, everybody loves you when what? When you don't have to take a stand on anything. So if you don't rebuke the people, if you don't have to take a stand on anything, so of course everybody loves you. So I said, you know, the Chassam Sofer said about the Rabbanus, he said, if everyone loves you, you're not doing your job. He says, if everyone hates you, then you're not a mensch. It's a very important yisod, just in general, in leadership. See, people often don't like leadership positions because not everybody's going to like you. We'll say, klal gadol in life is if you want to accomplish anything, your goal is not to be beloved. Your goal is not to be liked. Your goal is not to, you know, rank the top of the charts in the popularity. Because generally, if that means if everybody loves you, or if your popularity ratings are all-time high, generally you're not doing anything. We'll say, and the greatest proof to that is, if you were to take the popularity ratings of Moshe Rabbeinu in the Midbar, I don't think he would have broken past 30%. Maybe 30%. But it was Moshe Rabbeinu. I want to say it's a very important yisod because often people shy from accomplishing great things because, this one's going to get angry at me. Who cares? Who cares? You know, I'll say sometimes, and I'm venting a little bit, but I'll say, this is very, it's okay. You know what? I want to say something. A long time ago, I made my peace that Baruch Hashem, you're never going to be loved by everybody, nor do you have to be loved by everybody. I'll say, you see, sometimes there are opportunities to accomplish great things, and we hold ourselves back because, that guy's going to get so angry, or this one's going to leave the shul, or this one's going to that. And I'll say, you know what? There's a beautiful phrase. I think it's Latin. It goes something like, gay gesunte hate. You know what I mean? Whoever's going to go, you let him go. Whoever's going to do, you let him do. Whatever it is, if you know that something is right, you do what has to be done. You see the course through, and you don't look over your shoulder. Because they're both like, those who get angry, or those who get upset, or those who listen, it's like negotiating with terrorists. If it's not going to be this, then it's going to be that. And that's the Gemara saying over here. Great people are never beloved by everyone because they have to do dramatic things. And dramatic things ultimately will always raise the ire of someone. And the Gemara's, that's why this is the importance of learning Gemara, just so you should know, because this is not just halacha al zdayanim. This is life. Don't worry about being beloved. Don't worry about being liked. You know, you have to be a mensch, but know what you have to do. And even if it doesn't earn you the highest popularity points, at the end of the day, if you know you have something to accomplish, do it because it's what endows life with meaning. Amar Rava, Meresh Hava Amina, Hani B'nei Mechuza, Kulu Rachamili. Listen to this. And this is amazing. Rava said in the beginning, I used to think that everybody in B'nei Mechuza, everybody loved me. Kevan Dehavi Daina, Amina minayi sunili, umenayi rachmili. Then I said, when I became a dayan, so we'll say, apparently, this is Rabbi saying in the beginning, when I was just like an ordinary guy in Mechuza, everybody loved me. We'll say, by the way, this is, you should know, this is why everyone loved Aaron HaKohen. Why did everyone love Aaron HaKohen? Right? Because he didn't have to do anything. I mean, again, I mean like that, but I'm saying, you know, he worked in the Beis HaMikdash. I don't mean to impute on the Kohanim. He did plenty, right? The idea is he didn't have to do anything controversial, right? He didn't have to do anything political. He didn't have to take any dramatic stance. Who was Aaron? Aaron was the guy. He made Shalom. He didn't have to. Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who said, if you worship the eagle, you're going to die, right? Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who said, Meraglim, we're not going to Eretz Yisrael. Again, he was the mouthpiece of God, but he was the one who had to take all of the stands. So Rava says, in the beginning, I was just a guy in Mechuza. Everybody loved me. So you know, also listen to this. This is actually very interesting. So then I became a dayan. Some people loved me. Some people hated me. Guess how that came about, right? The ones who won the court cases loved him. the ones who lost the court cases, hated him. Rabbi said, listen to how profound this is. Kevin the Chazai demanded Mechayiv the Ha'idna, Kazachin Lamachar, Aminu Imrachim Kulu Rachmili, Imisanu Kula Sani. But then Rabbi said something very interesting. Then there were people who lost one case, but won another case, or won one case, lost another case. In other words, that people saw that I was just. People saw that I was just. People at the end of the day saw that what I was doing is correct. And then you know what? Those who loved me, those who hated me, hated me. In other words, I will say, what is Rav saying? That at the end of the day, what people came to respect about me, says Rav, is I had integrity. I was honest. So does it mean everybody loved me? No, that there were those who hated me. He says those who hated me for a whole variety of reasons that in reality had nothing to do with me. Because Rava says, as a leader, I was a lightning rod for all people's all types of feelings. But over time, when my integrity was established, so the people who hated me for their own reasons, but the people who loved me ultimately, again, loved me because I was genuine. So what he's saying over here is that over time, my integrity came out. And that's why Lemaisa, again, at least I had the respect of most people. Not beloved by everyone, but at least respected by almost everyone. Tanu Rabbanan, v'shocha lo sikach. The order says you shall not take a bribe. Ein lo tzarach lomar shochad mamon. Right? You don't have to worry about this. Excuse me. It goes without saying that you can't accept financial bribes. Ela afilu shochad dvarim nami asib. Rabbi will say even bribes of words you may not accept. Midlok siv betza. Lo sikach, because the fact that it says doesn't say betza. We will say betza means money. Doesn't say you shouldn't accept money. Rather, what does it say? You shouldn't accept shochad, which means a bribe in any form you may not accept. So the Gemara says, "Heichidami shochad dvarim." What does it mean to accept a bribe with words? Kihad Shmuel hava avar b'mavra. Listen to Shmuel was once crossing a bridge. Asu gavra yoyv leyadei. And what happened? And Shmuel was crossing the bridge, and a man extended his hand to Shmuel to help Shmuel across the bridge. Amarle Maya Viditech. So Shmuel says, you know, I don't recognize you. What are you doing here? Amarle Dina Isli. So the man said, oh, actually, Shmuel, I'm headed to your Beis Din because I have a case in your Beis Din. Amarle Pasilna Lechaladina. Shmuel said, I can no longer adjudicate your case. And I will say, the fact that the guy helped him across the bridge, just again, I will say, no money, changed hands, nothing, but that he helped him across the bridge, Shmuel felt that he was no longer now impartial, meaning now he felt in the theater as this guy. Amemar Hava Yosef, the Kadda in Dina. But says this, Amemar was sitting and he was adjudicating a case. Parach gadfa areshe. And what happened? A feather fell on his head. Asahu gavra shakle. A man came and removed the feather from Amemar's head. Amarle maya v'detech. Remember, says, who are you? Right? Literally, maya v'detech means, what do you do? He's not asking what he does for a living. What he's saying over here is like, I don't recognize you. Who are you? What are you here for? Amarle dina islay. Oh, I'm here, Rebbe, because I have a din in your Beis Din. I have to adjudicate a case. So Samira said, I can no longer adjudicate your case. So I will say, why? Because again, you removed the feather from my head. And I will say, now again, what the Gemara is trying to sensitize us to is that it is so difficult in life in general to become impartial. Any little thing could skew the scale one way or the other. So in all of these cases, even the fact that there was a simple tova, a nice little gesture, no money exchanged hands, by definition, these rabbanim felt that their impartiality, their objectivity was compromised. Mar Ukva v'shadei ruka. So let's listen to this. So Mar Ukva was walking, and there was like saliva on the ground in front of him. So Azu Gavra Kasye. So there was a man who came, and he quickly covered over the saliva in front of Mar Ukva. Amrli Maya v'detech. So Mar Ukva said, who are you? Amrli Dina Isli. Rabbi, I'm coming to your Beis Din because I have a case to adjudicate. Amrli Pasilna Lechaladina. I have to recuse myself from the case because my objectivity has been compromised. Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi, Avragil Arise. So Rabbi Shmuel had a sharecropper. Rabbi Shmuel owned land, and he had a sharecropper used to farm the land, and the sharecropper would bring him a basket of fruit. Again, that was part of his wage. That was part of the rent, I should say, every Erev Shabbos. Yom Echad, I see the Behe Shabso. One week, the sharecropper brought the crops on Thursday. Amar le maishna ha'idna. So Rabbi Shmuel said, why are you bringing the crops today? Amar le dina islich esli va'amina agav orche aisele lamar. So the sharecropper said, oh, because obviously today, Thursday, I'm on my way to your Beis Din because I have a case to adjudicate. And I figured I'd drop off the fruit on my way to Beis Din. So what happened? Lo kalomine. Rabbi Shmuel would not accept the fruit. Amar le Pasilna lechaladina. Furthermore, he said again, he wouldn't accept the fruit until the next day. He said, furthermore, again, I can no longer adjudicate your case. Now, what's interesting is the fact that the guy was his sharecropper. One would have thought that that would have been enough to go ahead and recuse himself. But maybe that's not enough. In any event, the fact that you brought the basket of fruits, I can't adjudicate your case. Osiv zuzei derabanan v'kaidinale. So Rabbi Shmuel instead appointed two other dayanim to go ahead and adjudicate the case. Now the brother said there must have been three dayanim in total. What it's saying is he found another two and there was a third, and they were adjudicating the case. Bahadi de ka'azal va'asi amar I bayin tayin hachi vi bayin tayin hachi. The brother says now Rabbi Shmuel was outside of the courtroom, was outside of the base medrash as they were adjudicating the case. See, he went ahead and he heard all the arguments, and he was saying in his mind, oh, the sharecropper could say like this, or the sharecropper could say like this. So, Amar Tepach Nafsha Shal Mekabli Shochad. Literally, Tepach Nafsha means the souls of those who go ahead and accept the bribe should decay. Uma Ani Shalom Natalti, Vim Natalti Shali Natalti, Kach Mekabli Shochad Alachas Kama Vakama. And I will say, now what Rabbi Shmuel realized was that he was subconsciously arguing on behalf of the sharecropper. Rabbi Shmuel said to himself, look how bribes impact an individual. If I would have accepted the bribe, so to speak, it wasn't even a bribe. Why wasn't it a bribe? Because it was mine. I was entitled to it. It was my fruit. That's the rent. But yet, again, you see how even taking something that I was entitled to influenced me to the point that even now, I'm not even the judge, but yet subconsciously I'm arguing on behalf of the sharecropper. So imagine those who actually accept bribes, how much their objectivity is compromised. Rabbi Shmuel bar Elisha, Aisilahu Gavra, Gavareshes Hagas. So we'll say Rabbi Shmuel bar Elisha was a Kohen. And there was a particular man that brought him Reish Sagaz. What Reish Sagaz means, the halacha is that when you shear your sheep, the first of the shearings goes to the Kohen. So a man brought Rabbi Shmuel bar Elisha his shearings. Amarle, mehecha at. So Rabbi Shmuel said to the man, where are you from? Amarle, midoch plan. I will say, doch plan means, doch is a city, plan is ploting. I'm from so-and-so city, meaning wherever he was from. So Rabbi Shmuel bar Elisha says, I don't understand. Umehasam lahacha, lahava koin lemeisvale. And let me ask you, from where you live until where I live, there were no other Kohanim that you could give your first shearings to? Meaning Rabbi Shmuel bar Elisha is intrigued that why is this guy making the whole trip? Now I would have thought it couldn't have been uncommon if I wanted to give my shearings to a prominent coin, to a Talmud Chacham coin. But in any event, Rabbi Shmuel bar Elisha thought it was interesting that this guy is traveling such a far way to give Rabbi Shmuel bar Elisha the first shearings. Amrle Dina Isli, Va'amina Agav Urchai Aisi Le Lamar. So the man said, oh, the truth is, Rabbi, I have a Din Torah in your Beis Din. So I figured that once I'm coming to your Beis Din, I'll give you my first shearings. Now, I want to be clear. The Gemara does not ascribe sinister motivations to these people, any of these individuals. That it is quite possible, that on just the utilitarian level, if I'm already traveling, it's just one-stop shopping, let me give out my Reish Sagaz and go ahead and do everything. Laf Dafka, that the litigants are trying to actively influence the judges. Amrale, Pasun L'Chaladina. So Rabbi Shmuel Elisha says, I'm sorry, I can't adjudicate your case. Because again, now I'm not partial. Lo kabel minei, he wasn't able to accept the gifts. Osiv leizuga derabanan v'kaidina le. So Moshe Rabbi Shmuel Elisha appointed other dayanim, and they were adjudicating the cases. Same thing as before. Bahadi deka azal va'asi amar I bayin tarnachi v'bayin tarnachi. So Moshe saying that Rabbi Shmuel bar Elisha is outside of the base of Medrash, and he hears the arguments going on. And in his head, he's saying, oh, that the guy could say like this, meaning the guy wanted to give him the first hearings. This guy can argue like this, and if he says this, and if he says that. So he's arguing, he feels himself already, advancing arguments on behalf of this individual. Amar.
He doesn't accept the shearings either.
Correct, neither. He doesn't want to accept anything, because again, remember, it's very important. Even though he recuses himself, he recused himself, but he felt still the act of accepting the shearings still doesn't look appropriate, because remember, at the end of the day, this guy is coming to his Beis Din. So the fact that he's coming to his Beis Din to go and adjudicate his case, number one, I have to recuse myself. Number one, to accept anything from someone who's coming to my Beis Din doesn't look appropriate. So he says to himself, literally the souls of those who accept bribes should decay. Umma ani shlo natalti, I didn't take anything, right? V'ilu natalti shli natalti. Now, Rabbi Shmuel bar Elisha could have said, had I taken something, the truth is, I would have been taking what? Something that I was entitled to. Why was I entitled to it? I'm a Kohen. I'm according. Reishis Hagas is something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me as a Kohen. So even though I realized that taking something that I was entitled to, right, and yet again I realized how slanted I am in my judgment. Kach mekabli shochad al achas kama v'kama. So we'll say certainly those who go ahead and actively accept bribes, we see how compromised they are. Well, let's go a little bit weiter. Rav Anan Aisileahu Gavra Kinso de Gildoni de Begili. So we'll say Rav Anan was once, a man once brought him Kinso de Gildoni de Begili. If you look at Rashi, he says over here, Gildoni de Begili, Dogim Kitanim. So we'll say Rav Anan, someone once brought him a basket of small fish, Gildoni a small fish, de Begili, from Gibegili. Amrle Maya Viditech. So Rav Anan said, no, so what are you doing here? Meaning, why are you bringing me the fish? Amrle Dina Isli. So he said, Rabbi, I have a din Torah. I have a case that I'm coming to adjudicate in your Beis Din. Lo kabel mine. So we'll say Rav Anan would not accept it. Amrle Pasilna Lachaladina. And furthermore, again, I can no longer go ahead and adjudicate your case. Amrle Dina Demar Lobaino. Rabbi, it's okay. I don't need you to adjudicate my case. I guess he's saying over here, we'll see. I can go ahead and find someone else to adjudicate my case. Kabuli Likbil Mar. Delolaminon Mar Me'ekruvi Bikurim. But Rabbi, I really want you to go ahead and accept my literally my fit. Well, he's saying, I want you to accept what I'm giving you in order not to prevent me from bringing bikurim. Then I will say, now obviously we just got finished. What was he bringing? What was he bringing over here? He was bringing fish. But yet he was saying ultimately again to Rav Anan, is please Rabbi accept it in order that you not prevent my bikurim offering. So we'll say, we'll stop over here. We'll see exactly what it is that he meant by the bikurim. And your attention to be continued tomorrow. We'll say, just a reminder, tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh. So no Mesilas Yesharim Shir tomorrow. We'll begin the daf at 5:45 promptly. Shkoyach. I'm sorry? Oh, because that's the administrative fee.